Welcome to the Kevin and Fred Show. I am your host, Kevin Kaufman, and along with my business partner, Fred Weaver, we bring to you our podcast where we highlight some of the best and brightest in the real estate industry, along with a weekly segment called Industry Headlines. We are a proud member of the Industry Syndicate, family of real estate podcasts, and we are so glad that you are listening and tuning in today, and we hope you enjoy our show.
All right, guys, we're back on the Kevin and Fred Show, and this week I'm joined by my good friend, Arizona peer. I'm not sure what the right word is here to say that. And coworker, Mr. Dave Zajinski. How's it going, brother?
Good, my man. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Doing good, man.
I don't know about coworker. What do you think? Coworker now? Like,
no, that felt really partner? It felt really awkward. I wasn't really sure how to say it. Like, we work at the same brokerage. I'm not real sure.
I don't know if we're peers. We're almost peers. I think.
No, I mean, we're peers. We both sell real estate. So
that's true.
We do it different ways, but we still do it. And anyways, I feel really bad for the listener that had to hear that. Maybe we should edit that piece out, but nonetheless, man, right. I'm stoked. I'm glad we're getting the chance to do this. So specifically, you and I did a panel together recently with a few other friends on a topic which we're going to dive into. So I was like, man, as we're doing that, this would make a really good podcast episode. So number one, for the listener that hasn't figured this out yet, Dave and I are good friends. We go back a few years. We get to hang out and talk quite a bit. But he's got some really interesting things he's done with his business that I wanted to be able to pull out of him today. So in order to do that, I had to put him on the hot seat. So here we are. So yeah. Dave Z, first of all, for the person that doesn't know you, do us a favor, give us a quick introduction. How long have you been in real estate, and what got you into this crazy business?
Yeah. So 17 years I've been in the business, and I hate to say it was money, but I will say that it was money. So I was on my way to go to med school and thought, you know what? I'm not really into it. And my wife was like, "You just want to do it for money? Go do something else, because you're going to be a terrible doctor." And so she's super smart and convinced me to go into real estate, because I had a brother that was doing really well in new home sales. So that's where I got started. And I know that sounds super shallow, but if you knew me, you know that I have 5 kids now, wanted a bunch of kids. And I was like, I can't make that work on a school teacher salary. So that's just kind of what drove me. And I bought real estate early. I owned my first home at 23 before I had my license. So I've always loved real estate. So that was like my natural fallback when my wife's like, "Hey, if you don't go to med school, what are you gonna do?" And I went right into that. So 17 years ago, did new construction in Arizona during the boom for almost 5 years.
Oh, wow. And
then, that when that builder went bankrupt and I basically had nowhere to go, jumped into resale. So that was 12 years ago.
So dang.
Dude, got fired kind of. So the business went under. So they're like, "You got to go do something else."
Hold on. What? The business went under? Tell me about that.
Yeah. So top 10 national builder. And I literally show up to my model, like right to unlock the models. So I'm like, "Dang, man, my key is not working. That's not normal." So call my sales manager. I'm like, "I can't get into the models. Like, they've been rekeyed." He's like, "Oh, I'll be there in 10 minutes. Shows up, tells me company's gone. Company went under. You got to go figure something else out. So that was just, you know, everyone's talking about the housing market that we're in right now. That was a crazy market. That was back when the market was crashing and builders had way too much inventory and they were done.
Basically, so the exact opposite. It's funny because people want to compare now to then. It's the exact opposite.
Exact opposite. I remember our sales, not the sales manager, but the CEO, like, "Hey guys, we just bought 50,000 more lots to build on. 50,000 more lots." And we're like, "Great, this will never end." So that was the problem right there.
Yeah, right? We'd kill for 50,000 more lots now. So, all right, dude. So you and I connected first a few years ago. I think we discovered it's probably like four years ago or so, mutual friend. And we had some similar backgrounds because I grew up sort of in the short sale days. Your business is really short sale centered there for a while.
Yeah.
And then you started making some shifts and adjustments, and I had done some as well. And that was how we initially connected. So fast forward us a little bit. Tell us a little bit about your team, you know, and maybe even a little bit of the journey along the way.
Yeah. So it has been a journey because I kind of fought that short sale. Like I was just holding on. Like I got to become number one in Phoenix because everybody dropped out. Like I was the last man standing. And I think Matthew Potter, he runs a great short sale business. Like he and I were like one and two, one and two. I'm like, yeah, like I'll just do this forever. And then obviously that's not the case anymore. So luckily I was able to start building my team when I had the capacity because I had a lot of listings, right? Like, so my team literally started with me having, I think 35 listings at the time. And somebody was sitting outside my door as I was walking down the hallway. I'm like, I'm pretty sure she is in front of my door. Like, I don't know what's going on. So right? Like maybe I'll like go back and check my mail and then see if she's still there. But there she was. And Dorothy, who you know, is still on my team.
She's
and
amazing.
She was like, hey, she's awesome. She's like, hey, Bill, who our broker was at the time, said you might need some help. I'm like, I probably need some help. So I have totally built my team the wrong way. Like, and that's what I love about all these different ways of doing it. So now that once we get kind of diving deep into what we're going to talk about, like I built it the wrong way. And I would never do it that way again. And as I coach people now and coach agents, like, don't do what I did, even though I wouldn't take it back, like for the people I have in my life. And we joke about it. I'll tell her, oh, had I known what I know now, I would not have done what I did back then. But she came on, was a buyer's agent. You know, that's kind of the lever I needed that time was like, oh, I've got all these listings and the phone's ringing. Can you just take them? Like, it just, I literally said, go sell 5 million. Without me paying for leads, doing anything, just take all my signed calls. And if you can sell 5 million, you can stay. And she went way over that. And that was it. There was no training. I'm like, I'm not looking for this. But if you can like just take this off my plate, it was great. So that's how I built my team. Like that would not how I do it, how I do it today. But
well, certainly, yeah, knowing what you know now, you wouldn't do things that way today. But how many lessons come out of like doing kind of things like that. And truthfully, let's be honest, like almost everybody operates like that in this industry to a certain extent until we get tired of getting smacked in the face. Then we go, okay, I should take so-and-so's advice. I should take my coach's advice and maybe slow down and do things. Okay. Totally. So, you know, the other thing too, Dave, is about a year, I think it was about not quite a year ago, 6-7 months ago, maybe a little bit longer. You, me and Fred, we're doing a kind of an interview style thing. And you pointed out to us, and I think it was news to us at the time, that you had basically doubled or tripled your profit in over the previous 12 months. And that really stuck out to me. Number one, because at the end of the day, when we're talking about business, like we want to make a profit, right? We want to help people and we want to do all that other stuff that makes us feel good for saying it. And the purpose of a business is to make a profit, right?
Right.
And so when someone says I doubled or tripled my profit in a period of time, like that stands out. But what really stood out to me was like kind of why. And so we could sit here and have like a whole conversation about the mistakes you've made and the mistakes I've made on team building, but I'd really love to talk about some of the things that you've done that you know now. Like you made some really good choices over the last year or two. And I'd like to really dive into those if we could.
Yeah, for sure. So when we did that interview, I remember, I think my business was up 45%, but my profit was up like 320%, right? So yeah, like fun, you know, but also when you're running a not that profitable business, it's easier to do.
It's also not hard to triple a low dollar.
Yeah, like, but once you're like killing it, like, okay, then how do you triple that again, right? So, so the whole idea behind profit, I think, and where we lose it when we're growing a team is when we start outsourcing the wrong parts, the wrong pieces of the business. So when we're outsourcing productivity, that's where we go wrong.
Yep.
Right. So but that's what you do. You build a team and you're like, that first hire, like here, like take 50% of the cost of the sale and go do it. So I think we have this desire to get out of production when we're growing a team, right? A lot of us do, but we don't realize how expensive that is. So to me, and when we get it, so we're going to talk about the showing partner, right? I mean, that's where we're
diving. That's the punchline here, is the showing partner for sure, which I really want to dive into. But here's the deal. I know you, so I'm going to fast forward a little bit for the listener that doesn't know you to the length that I do, but like, dude, you're a very intelligent, well thought through person. And when you decide to pull the trigger on something, like you've looked at it and you've analyzed it and you've gone, hey, there's a way to do this here that makes a lot of sense. And so when you made a decision to, hey, I want to increase my sales. Yeah. But I also want to increase my profit. You decided to do that by doing something that most people would probably not really consider, which is like a lot of people have a showing partner or showing assistant, but they don't pay them a salary. And to me, that's one of the things, right, that stands out, is like, you've actually had to put some money on the line to do this. So tell us a look, give us some of those details, yeah, if you don't mind, about kind of, and I don't want you to share any secrets, something that you're not necessarily comfortable sharing with in public, but give us some of those details if you don't mind.
Yeah. And I think what you were referencing before is my high S on the disc scale. So
yes,
I'm slow to move.
So, I didn't say that. I mean, that.
Yeah, like, but yeah, it is true. Like, I'm going to sit and think about it for a long time and then reach out. But the showing partner is, and because of how I got started, I think it's made me more passionate. Like when you go one way and then you see it the other way, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm all in on this now. Cause it's almost the polar opposite of what I did. So I think this position is the most, well, it's the least understood and the least utilized in my opinion. I think I want to see, okay, I'm 43, been doing this 17 years. I want to look back in 20 years and say, man, do I have a fingerprint on this industry in that position? Like, can we bring about change in the real estate business through this? So that's kind of a mission that I have now. So like, I love it, and we'll get into that. But
tell me, hold on. Let's get into that. Tell me why. Like, why is that important?
I think because, okay, going from leaving college and thinking of going into medicine, and then going into, right, like everybody's mom and dad is super psyched to say my kid's going to be a doctor. Not everybody's super psyched to say my kid's going to be a realtor. Can we agree on that?
My mom disagrees with you, bro.
And maybe I'm wrong, you know, but.
No, come on. I get what you're saying.
I wish we had a better.
Reputation?
Reputation, man. Yeah. Right. And we can. Like, we are handling the most expensive asset for most people in the most stressful time. Like, this needs to be a better industry. So when I look at our barrier of entry, I look at the cost and all of that, just juxtapose it to medicine or being an airline pilot. Like, anything that's really important, man, people pay a massive price to do it. And they watch. Like Albert Schweitzer, the theologian, was like, there's three ways to teach. The first is by example, the second is by example, and the third is by example. And we can't do that in the real estate industry. We're like, hey, join my team. I'm going to keep going in production. You go sell 5 million and don't bother me. That's how we produce realtors. You know, like, we have such a terrible way of growing and attracting to this industry. It's terrible.
Yeah.
I
want to prove to something to people real quick. I want to point something out. You've just proven one of my points. You're very smart. You just use the words juxtapose and theologian in like a 20 second span on a real estate podcast.
Which podcast is it? Oh, it's the real estate podcast.
This is a real estate one, bro. So you could bring it down a notch for us, you know, for the rest of us normal people. But you know, I think you're right, because that's what we do, right? We're like, hey, I need some help. And you know, what, you want to get your license and come, okay, cool, just come watch what I do. And then we wonder why, as an industry, the fail rate is so high. It's ridiculously high.
The expectations are inappropriate. They're grossly inappropriate. Wouldn't you agree? Like, if the schools had to be responsible for people coming out, they would teach in a different way.
For sure.
But their job is to get people through the school and not have them think about what their future is going to look like. It's not like again, being like a pilot or a doctor, where we just need so much time and experience before you can handle that. So I see this showing partner as a way to really attract quality people, younger people out of college, right? Like what's the, who's the average realtor according to the NAR, right? Like, I think we can break that mold and start to develop talent that's intentional, not, hey, this is my fallback career. This is something I fell back on, but it's like, okay, I'm going to get out of college. I'll have some student loans and I can go intern. And that's really how we look at it. I'm going to intern, get my experience, delay my income a little bit, but survive and like get a PhD in real estate. So if we can see a shift to that, like I'd love to be able to know today there's, you know, 1% of realtors start that way. And by the end of my career, there's 30% of realtors start that way. You know what I mean? Like that would be phenomenal if I could leave that as I leave the industry, leave that behind.
I do. And that would be awesome. You know, part of it is like, you got to think about the industry around our industry, right? It's built on membership, right? So I think that's never going to be a top down. So this has to be something that's kind of ground up in our sales businesses, which is what you're advocating here. So let's give me more about the details of it. Okay. So like, hey, let's say I'm fresh out of college and I'm thinking about real estate and I know you or our paths cross on some level. And I say to you like, hey, thinking about getting into real estate. And you say, great, I'd love to talk to you about that. And we have that conversation. What does that look like? Like, if I come to you and say, hey, think about getting into real estate versus like going down the street to another team or even just a brokerage and say, hey, I'm going to get into real estate. I might join you. Like what's that conversation look like with you?
Yeah. So the showing partner, we're going to first ensure that you're not going to go homeless and go broke because, you know, we know 80% of realtors exit the industry. So what we do differently is we say, we're going to pay you a salary that you can live on. You can relax a little bit, not be so commission hungry, like that commission breath. And I know I share my story, right? My builder goes bankrupt. I have to start real estate. I was $30,000 in the hole before I saw a paycheck. And maybe I did it wrong, but I had an office. I had computers. I had advertisement. I was paying a 100% broker fee at RE/MAX, like scratching them a check. And by the time that first check came in, I'm $30,000 in the hole. So because I was starting a business. I didn't want to be a realtor that just, you know, called my friends and family. I started the business. So we can say, okay, you can go join real estate and you got an 80% chance you're going to fail. Start with us, get a guaranteed salary and get hands-on in-depth training where you're not expected to sell a bunch of real estate right away. You're expected to learn the behaviors, the habits, the activities, and learn, like slow down and learn what we do to be successful. You know, the agents on my team they're very productive. They outproduce the majority of agents. I've got Dorothy, I think she's got 23 homes closed and pended for the year and it's April. So learn from that and learn how you can go sell a lot of real estate and have a balanced life. And so it gives you the permission, I think, from everybody to do what's right, to do what it takes to survive versus like hiring out of need and necessity, but hiring intentional. Like we don't need you just yet to produce sales. So you are going to sit in the classroom and watch and learn and shadow and build the habits.
I like this.
By the time this internship is over, you're going to be either be a badass in real estate, or you're going to realize that this was much different than what the school told you it would be. And either one is fine.
Yeah, no doubt. Either outcome is okay. But let me do this. Okay, so let me put on another hat. Let me put on the hat of it. Okay, now I'm me, right? I run a real estate team. I need help. You just said to me, I should hire, at least if I think I heard you right, I should hire a showing assistant, but I should pay them a salary. So I should guarantee them an income. Why on earth would I do that?
Yeah, good question. So there's a couple of reasons. One, if they're a W-2 salary, you can dictate what they do, when they do, and how they do it.
Okay.
And if they don't do that, you're gone. Like, this isn't a suggestion. We don't, you know, when it's an independent contractor that you hire on your team, you give them guidelines and expectations, but you can't say this time on this day, be here and do this. So that's one, the first thing that you need is to have a much higher standard that they've got to accomplish. And then two, it is going to be cheaper for you as the team owner.
So guaranteeing them money is going to be cheaper for me if I guarantee them income. Tell me more about that.
Okay. So the way we do it, and again, we took this from somebody else, so I didn't create this, but we do have, when you do the activities that we make you do because it's enforceable by your contract, guess what those activities will produce, right? Like they're going to produce results. If I make you run 5 miles every day and I make you drink a gallon of water, like, and I'm standing there making you do it, I just know the results that behavior is going to produce. So when we say you have to do this and we are watching you and we're enforcing it, it's going to produce the results that we're looking for, that they're looking for. And it gives us an idea right away if they're cut out for this, right? Are they cut to do this? But that salary, the way we do it, and I'll kind of dive a little bit into our contract, is we expect 8 sales from that showing partner that do not come from the Z team, that don't come from 4610.
Okay.
So I want you, if you come in and I'm going to give you a salary.
Okay.
I then expect you to find 8 sales that I don't give you. Open houses, cold calling, door knocking, sphere, whatever you want to do. And we're going to teach you all these different ways to prospect. But we want to see, and to step back before I finish that, step back. I have grown the team bigger. Like, you've known me when my team was bigger and I was losing money, right? Because I'm now feeding the team without getting anything back. Give me leads, give me systems, like put me on Boomtown, put me on these leads, give them to me, give me some training. And, you know, we're just kind of seeing who's going to stick. And you look back and you go, wow, I lost some money there. But if you find the right person and you invest in them and say, nothing is given, everything is earned. So we run an environment where we don't just hand out leads anymore. It's, if you go hunt, we'll give you appointments. We'll give you some laydowns. We're going to give you appointments. Our ISA is going to set you appointments. So to come up into this ecosystem and start getting appointments and leads and deals from us, we need to see that you can do it, right? Like, if you were to get dropped off in anywhere in the country, you'll go make it happen. Same with me. And if somebody's coming into your team saying, I don't have a sphere, I don't have a prospect, just give me your leads, I would say they're not the right fit for your team.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot harder for them to see success because for many reasons. So if I'm understanding this correctly, like if I show up on your doorstep now and you decide to hire me, you're gonna direct my activity. And what I think I heard you say is those activities should lead to me being able to bring in business as well. But you're paying me, you're literally going to pay me a salary to do those things that'll help me build a foundation for my business.
Yep. Yep. Learn how to be self-sufficient, self-sustaining, be a realtor, like tell the world you're a realtor and see what happens. And if you tell the world you're a realtor and nothing happens, you can stay in that position, but you can't graduate. So, you know, the big benefit of what I see here, what needs to be talked about, and for anyone who's listening, is it's a win for the team owner because that salary gets reimbursed. So In our model, when you sell one of those homes that you bring in, you're only going to keep 15%, 1.5, not 50, 1.5%. That's it.
Okay.
That, and if you're a showing partner, you're like, well, that's a crummy deal. Like, I did all that work and I got very little. So the payoff is the training you're going to get, the PhD you're going to get. But if you're in the right ecosystem where you can say, look, Dorothy has pended 22 homes this year. You too can be like that and sell 80 houses this year. and we'll teach you how to do that. And you're going to grow through our farm system. So I like to use it like an internship or a farm system. And we're going to pay you all along the way. So one of our showing partners, you know, put a $600,000 sphere under contract. I think they're making $2,000 on that. But they've already been getting a, you know, we pay them almost $40,000 a year in a salary. So I actually did the math and it's about breaking even. That first sale, had they been on their own, they're going to be at the same place financially. Yet they have done so many showings and offers and open houses and our training. Like they're so much further ahead. They're like 6 years further ahead than the average agent.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They've done the activities of an agent who your average agent, if they've managed to survive 3, 4, 5 years, they've already done those activities. And truthfully, no one's getting rich off of, let's just call it $40,000 a year. However, what that's allowed them to do is to not have to worry about a paycheck every 2 weeks or every month or however that comes, right? And it's allowed them to kind of lean into what I think I heard is, it's allowed them to lean into those activities that you know make somebody a successful real estate agent if they go out and execute on those things.
Yeah, and a lot of agents just don't want to do it because they don't feel like doing it. Prospecting gets tiring and open houses get tiring. Yeah, our contract requires 48 open houses a year.
Whoa.
48. So, you know, it's not every week. You have 4 weeks off. So, or you can do two in a week. Like, right. We had a new listing come on and our showing partner, one of our showing partners said, hey, I can be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday during these times. Like I'm showing for my senior agent these other times, but I can be here, 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 and here. So, cause they have to do it. It's not because they feel like doing it. Like when we only do the things we feel like doing, when we feel like doing it, it ain't gonna work.
Right.
And that's what this tackles. This tackles that aspect of I don't feel like doing it. Instead of calling your agent like, hey, am I reading this right? Like you only did like 3 hours of prospecting last week, or did you just not put it in the system? It's like, no, you know, I got this, I got that. Like it avoids those conversations because it's a requirement to get the salary. So you're building these right habits and you're finding the people who just want to go grind. And honestly, it's a grind. So if you can get through this grind, we'll teach you real estate. We'll teach you contracts. We'll teach you negotiations. But if you can put up with this, you're showing me you've got grit and fortitude and you're going to make it. You're going to make it. That's the beauty of it. And then, so the buddy that I took this from, his top agent that started as a showing partner closed 147 homes last year as an agent on a team.
What?
And has a life, has balance. Like, just wrap your head around that. So he's got two full-time showing partners and himself. He did 75 sphere deals and about 70 team deals.
Whoa.
That's like, when I heard that, and then I flew out to go dive deep into this, I was like, this is like, I called it the 4-minute mile. Like, not possible. Show me how that's possible. And you really can peel back and go, this works. It works really well. And you can, so the idea then as a team leader is don't go wide, go deep. Scale deep through your best people who then can go make 400,000 or 500,000 of income on a team. So you talk about retention, you talk about just growing through the right, and honestly, who do I want writing contracts as a team owner? When my name's on the contract, do I want my agent that's selling 60 homes a year to write the contract or somebody brand new to write it?
Yeah.
Like no brainer. Yeah, like
no brainer.
Scale through your top people and say, look, I'll support you. So here's the best part, you know, for everybody is the senior agent pays for that. I don't pay for that. So Kevin, like Dorothy pays for her showing partner. Because when that home closes, she's going to get 35%. So I'll just tell you the contract. So showing partner gets 15, Dorothy will get 35, and the company keeps 50%. So if your showing partner can sell 8 houses and you're paying them 35 to 40,000, those eight closings that you're getting that you would not have gotten reimburse you for the salary, plus you get your time back.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's, I think what I'm hearing here too is like, okay, so the senior agent on the team, so there's two ways to slice this, right? Maybe I'm a solo agent, or I've got administrative help, and I need to leverage out. And so I could go and get a showing assistant, or I could be a buyer's agent on a team and then leverage that out even further with a showing assistant. I see how this works. This works for both.
Yes.
I think the thing that stands out to me about this model is that I know a lot of people that have used a showing assistant, myself and, you know, our team included, in the past. And it normally involves just a straight up percentage of the commission. And right. What I'm hearing here is you're saying, no, we're going to pay a salary, because if we pay a salary, then we get to kind of dictate what the person does, because then it's a job. They're not a contractor. They've got a job.
Right.
And what we're going to do is we're going to teach them the things that we know if they do them, they'll become a successful real estate agent. And therefore, in turn, pay their own salary.
Exactly. Or, you know, and as we talked earlier this week, we had to let go a showing partner. Well, I wouldn't say let go. I said we mutually decided to not do this, because all of this could be talked about. But once you drive 220 miles in one day and you are showing for six different clients because you're working with a busy agent like Dorothy, you're like, okay, this isn't really what I want to do. But we got there really quickly. Like she, I guarantee you, in her first month of real estate, she probably showed more houses than your average realtor in Phoenix does in 2 or 3 years in a month. I mean, she was showing regularly 100 to 200 miles a day, like every day, and was juggling, you know, multiple clients. And she, I just think it was like a punch in the face. Like, this isn't HGTV, you know? So that wasn't really what she wanted to do. And it was great that we could figure that out with 1 month of salary. And my agent, you know, Dorothy was able to put a bunch in escrow because of it. Like, she was down in Maricopa registering somebody for a new build while she was out over here. So that salary didn't go to waste.
Yeah.
You know, it was great leverage. And it was, you know, like Brene Brown, like one of her sayings is clear as kind. And this gets really clear, really crystal clear why we're successful. If you look at anybody successful in real estate, you know, maybe they're looking at you after your success, or me after 17 years, like, it doesn't look so bad. Well, you didn't see me 10 years ago. Yeah. What it looked like when I was selling a home a week by myself, you weren't there. So we're just exposing them to the reality of that. And some people just aren't ready for it. So great.
It's funny you use that, that quote by Brene Brown. Cause what I was going to say is I was thinking of the word kind, how it's really, this actually is really kind and really human centric for the showing assistant or the showing partner. In your case, the senior partner on the team, or it could be, and for you and, you know, for the business, as well as it could be if I'm an agent hiring a showing assistant for the first time, how this is truly one of those win-win-win scenarios that is often hard to really come by.
Yes, 100%. Like, I have no apologies about what the salary is, and that when you get your friend into escrow and you're only keeping $2,000 of it, there's nobody is complaining. Not one of us. There's three of us now involved in that. The senior agent, the showing partner, myself. Nobody is sitting here going, well, I got the bum end of that. From the outside, it could look at that if you don't really see it, but it really is, like you said, a win-win.
Certainly it'd be easy for all three parties to go, I could have had that whole commission, right? And this, I gave up, quote unquote, gave up this much. But when you look at what every single person gained from that, in addition to the compensation, in addition to the other things that come out of it, it's clear to me that it is very kind. It actually is super kind to all parties involved. And to me, represents a humongous opportunity for agents and for this business to scale. I mean, hell, if you look at it, there's an entire company, Redfin, that's built on something quasi similar, right? I'm not going to say they're the same thing and they're not, but they are similar in some aspects, right? And so I believe that it gives you and I and any agent listening to this the chance to sort of really build a very similar business model and to be able to grow our business. And to just fast forward for us, I don't need like your exact numbers, but you mentioned like profits was up like 300%. Can you get, are there any other like sort of highlights or nuggets or things that you can give us that specifics that this model has brought to your business since you implemented it?
Yeah. And again, once we implemented that model, we had like another 45% increase in production.
Damn.
So in the real winners, and this is what's great. And I think you and I are in this boat. And I think I'd like to think most people are in it, but I really enjoy the win of my team as much as me. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to build something to where, you know, I am just all about profit at the expense of people and let's churn and burn it. Like, my first agent is still with me. We love working together. And so if I can see her win and stay and I win, I'd rather do that all day long than have new people come in. So if I'm just about units and production, which we want to grow and we want to be profitable, but what I would like to have 200 units go through two people and their partners versus, well, I need 20 people for that. And I make the same, but everyone's making a really low salary. So I want to create an ecosystem where it's like, come in through this level entry of a showing partner, but let me show you how you can make $400,000 to $500,000 as an agent on a team and never leave. Now, if you want to go start a team, by all means, like I'm not offended, but if you're like, this is where I want to stay, but how many buyer agents or listing agents just get stuck at that glass ceiling of like, well, this is the most I'll ever make, but you know, like let's show them a way to go make a lot of money and have freedom. I like it when my agents, you know, like Dorothy was in Hawaii for 13 days and got deals under contract. Like new people came into our ecosystem, you know, through our referral partners. And she handled all the contracts and the negotiations from looking at the ocean while somebody would like, it's such a win-win. And that's why I love it. It's not, oh, this is a great way to turn a little bit of an extra profit, but everybody's happy and everybody's winning and seeing my agents win is awesome. And that's what I want to see. So, you know, we're seeing agents who, if you're an agent on a team and you're getting capped at like 30, 35 sales, I mean, you've been doing this a long time in a lot of markets. That's the upper end for most, not for all.
Most. That's not like all, but most. Agent.
But most agents at some point say, I don't have the stomach for more because of what's on the other end of that. Like the more, like you have to be gone more and you're away from your family more. Like, you know, I did 52 in a year by myself and it's hard. It's hard. There's sacrifice. So you can get to, you can take an agent who's doing 30, get them to 80 without them feeling like it's 80. They feel like it's still 30 because, you know, so what our showing partner will do for anybody who doesn't know, if you want kind of the details, they're going to do all of the buyer appointments, the showings. Now our initial appointment is typically in the office or at one property. We set up the partnership. Like I'm your senior agent. I've got 17 years. I'm going to negotiate this. I have the relationships with the agents. You know, McKenna is your boots on the ground tour guide. She's going to be the one getting you in and out of the house. And by the way, it doesn't cost you anything extra. This is extra. This is what you get for working with us. You get two dedicated realtors. So now the greatest lever that agent needs is time with those clients, where she can then do more appointments with more buyers, more consultations. And then we delegate those roles. So it's not, we don't say this is, you might get me, you might get her. That's why we call it a partnership. We say, this is the doctor, nurse, dentist, hygienist. Like, I'm not going to come in and clean your teeth if she's busy. And it's not, that's not what I do. It's just, that's not how we're set up. So you call McKenna whenever you want to go see these homes. And once you find a home you want, I'm going to be writing that offer. So you can, I've seen people, I know some of this model that went from like 10 sales to 80 sales and they didn't even feel it.
It's huge.
A team. Yeah. A team owner, a friend of mine who got back into production, seeing this model and went from running a 20 person team selling 10 down to like a 4-person team selling 80. And he like, I think he like 8x'd his profit. I mean, he went from a good profit to a 7-figure net income profit off his model. Right. I mean, I saw his final numbers for 19 and 20 and it's stupid, but it wasn't harder. It was actually easier. I actually heard from his wife, we were out on a mastermind trip and she basically said, I got my husband back. And he went from 10 sales to 80. And she's like, I got him back as a husband. My kids got him back as a father.
That's so huge.
Yeah. It's hard to wrap your head around. Cause you think, well, the fear is I'm going to be busy, but stop showing houses and see how much more time you have when you are not driving around looking at houses. So can I give you my first 5 hires then? Like if I were to start over, what my first 5 hires would look like?
Yeah, that's great. Do that.
So if you're a solo agent, and you're getting close to 30 sales a year, and maybe even back up before then. Let's say 15 sales a year, hire a transaction coordinator. Wouldn't you agree? TC or some type of VA. Don't go admin. So
bro, I'm slow. I'm hiring at like 3 sales a year because I need help. I need all the help I can get.
Yeah. So immediately, whenever you know this is what you're going to do, get a TC. I recommend outsourcing it. Like don't train somebody, put them in your office, but TC. Then crank that up to like 30, 40, 50 sales, and then hire a full-time admin to start doing all of your, like, okay, your paperwork, your listing paperwork, your farming, your whatever, like get a full-time admin now on a salary. The third hire now, I'm convinced, it used to be a buyer's agent. That third hire should be a showing partner.
Love it.
You stay in production as the realtor, but you outsource the thing that starts to kind of grind on people. People kind of get tired of, hey, I'm ready to get somebody else to go do this. Keep the production, keep the clients. I mean, for guys like you and me, I don't know if I'll retain my clients if my team agents, if my members leave. Like, yeah, right? Like maybe they'll stay with me, but let's say they go join another brokerage or another team. They call them, I call them. I don't have that relationship anymore. So now I've outsourced the relationships of my business to my people that could leave me.
Yeah, you've got to have a certain number of people that stay. Like I've got, like Fred and I have got a good number of people that, you know, because we worked with them and built those relationships early on and stayed with those clients, we've got a, no matter what, we have a significant database. That we can build from. And so I like that. I like where your head's at with that advice.
And then I would say the fourth hire should be a second showing partner. Somebody to take the days off of your first showing partner.
Damn.
And to do some database management.
Okay.
You can be a solo agent with a TC, an admin, 2 showing partners, probably selling 125 to 150 homes a year. And it doesn't feel like that. That's a 7-figure business.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's a big business, dude.
Huge business. And you are keeping the relationships. And then your fifth hire, it should be either, I think it's either an ISA or you graduate when you're showing partners to a buyer's agent and then you replace.
Yeah.
And you have that buyer's agent who's maybe given you 2 years in that system to now pay for that. That showing partner and you're clicking around 150 to 200 sales a year, keeping 80%+ of the commission.
Yeah, I was gonna say super high profit margin on that.
So that's my advice to do it. Because when I got out of production early, a lot of profit went with it and you had to recover. You have to recover from that. So
yeah, no doubt. All right. So let me ask you a couple parting questions, man, as we start to wrap up. Number one, what do you say to the person who's, I see that, Dave, but I don't know, man, writing a, guaranteeing an income to a salesperson just seems like a stretch. What do you say to that person?
Yeah. So this is a team leader or an agent?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would have them look at it like anything else. Is it a revenue producing decision or is it an expense? Because if you're looking at it as an expense and you're just not seeing it, it is a revenue producing hire. Bottom line, if you're telling me, if you have somebody doing 48 open houses and you are going to have to train them, you're going to be there making sure they're doing open houses, maybe for the first 2, 3, or 4, but you're just now recreating yourself to go do open houses. We ask them, we require them to do 90 minutes a day of prospecting on the phone. Okay. So, and you're going to show for me while I go do other revenue producing activities. It's the same person that says, I'm not going to hire a TC because that's $300 and I can do the paperwork myself.
Yeah.
It's just a bigger scale and there is risk, but if you find the right person and you really believe in training, and we call them partners, they're not assistants. They're not our like local assistants. These are our esteemed partners. You're going to develop people in the industry that you're going to be able to look back and say, man, that person's killing it, either still in my ecosystem or on their own. And you were able to give them your all because of that setup, instead of just like, oh, you're on my team, just go do your thing, right? So it's a revenue producer. You got to look at it that way.
Where does somebody find you if they want to get in touch with you, learn more, whether it's learn more about this or just kind of keep in touch with you? What's the best way for people to reach out? Is it social media? What's that look like?
Yeah, you can. Social media is not, that's not my strong game. So have them call me or email me. Go to our website, zteamaz.com.
Zteamaz.com. We can put that in the show notes. Okay.
Zteamaz.com, or, you know, dude, they can have my email, Dave@zteamaz.com. But I love talking about it. I have no problem. Somebody calls me and is like, hey, I'm thinking about it. I'm not going to give you my contract because that cost me, you know, good $15,000 to put that together, but I'll walk you through it. I'll give you some highlights of what that contract looks like. And, you know, there's different iterations. There's no doubt, but I just think that's the best one.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, dude, last question for you. Like, what should I have asked you about this that we, like, what haven't we discussed that we should have?
Probably the commitment. So we ask for a 1 year minimum. This is not come in for 6 weeks and then graduate.
Oh, so from the showing partner.
Yeah. Yep. So we make it very clear. There's a heavy investment on our end. We, you know, we're not training you a new person every 6 weeks. So we really ask for a year of this, and that year will fly by and we think you need it. And so if somebody, you know, so I would encourage people to look at that. I know people that do it for a 2 year minimum. So every market's a little bit different. So, but that's, it's a long-term deal. So this is one analogy I'll use is if someone box kind of at the commission or things like that, I'll look at, you know, I ask somebody, do you think there's somebody in the Dodgers farm system that's going to be an all-star and make $15 million on a contract? But they're riding the bus right now, making whatever it is they make.
$1,000 a month.
That's the price of admission. And they know that. So it's clear, it's laid out. That's the way to do it. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I would love for us to be talking about this in 20 years. Like, can you believe it? Like, the Department of Real Estate has mandated everybody go through this. Like, I don't think that's ever going to happen, but I think we can promote that to where everybody is winning and you want to get into that farm system. Like, gosh, I would have jumped on that 17 years ago. Like, pay me a salary for a year while I learn from like an elite team. Like, you're going to partner me up with an agent who's doing 120 deals a year. Okay. Like, sign me up.
Kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah.
You know, for what it's worth too, and I'll add in my 2 cents as we wrap up here. I think the other piece as a team owner or even agent who's going to make your first hire, on this side of the business, having a salaried position gets you a new pool of talent that you can't get to currently. If you have only a commitment. Now, it doesn't mean, you know, some people, it's easy for people to go, yeah, but if they're really committed, they'd go all commission. Yeah, I hear that. And I'm just going to tell you, 8 years into to a business relationship that I have with the number one producing agent on our team for those entire 8 years, she came in because of a salaried, similar but different situation. And had I not, had Fred and I not had the opportunity, had not been open to offering a salary for a sales role at that time, we wouldn't have been able to get into business together. And I know that's another piece of it is like, hey, dude, it opens, it's a new pool of talent that at a minimum, it expands your pool of talent that you can tap into. On the worst case scenario, it expands that pool. And this, in this business, when we talk about going from sales to business, talent is the differentiator and wherever you're at to wherever you want to go.
Yeah. Do you think that's why she's been your top agent? Do you think that's one component?
You use the term internship. She always used that term. She would always tell me, she's like, you guys gave me a paid internship. I got to learn everything about the business. And dude, we did. Like, she would go on listing appointments. She would take pictures of listings, of our short sale listings. Like she was doing everything when she wasn't selling a house to someone else on the buy side of the business. And because of that, she got such a complete education and such a thorough understanding of what happens in this business and had to do all these different tasks that have helped her become such a well-rounded. I mean, dude, she sells, you know, probably 50 homes a year on average. And without it, she doesn't have a showing assistant of her own. Like, you know,
she needs a showing partner.
Trust me, I know. I'm going to have you talk to her. You're going to come to lunch with us next month. She needs a showing partner. I agree.
But you're 100% right there. You're totally right. Like, I have 54 applications for running right now for our next showing partner. It's crazy how many have college degrees.
Oh, yeah. Dude,
so you're getting people who are like, I need a salary. And somebody like that understands that they don't start out on top. Like if you're at one of our showing partners, 23, 24, college degree, like understands this is how kind of the world works outside of real estate. So even normal.
Yeah. Even like, let's face it, dude, if you're a first year lawyer, or a first year accountant, like you're not going in making $100,000-$200,000 a year. Like you're going in and it's grunt work and you're doing all of the things, that you got to do. And there's a path in that, in those careers too. So man, I love what you're doing with this. And for the listener, I would just highly encourage you, like, you know, reach out to Dave if you want to learn more about this. This guy is like really taking this to a different level, and I've seen it impact his business, impact the people that he's in business with. And I think it's my opinion, this is the smartest model in our industry right now. And it's the best, to me, it's the best way people could lever up.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll repeat what you said. I think it's the kindest. It really is. It's not to get mushy. I think it's the most loving way to do real estate. Can I say that?
You can say that. I mean, we started this podcast off talking about how you're basically a greedy, money hungry. No, just kidding. Obviously. But the reality is like, I mean, I agree with you, dude. I think you're 100% dead on. All right, dude. Anything else?
That was fun. Thank you. Yeah. No, I'm super happy. Honestly, super happy to talk to anybody about it. Like anybody reach out. I'm happy to give my 2 cents. You should have gotten enough from here, but if there's any dots that need connecting, I'd love to do it for anybody listening.
Right on, guys. Reach out to him, Dave Z and the Z team here in the Phoenix, Arizona area. Great guy, and really, really intelligent. Dave, thanks a lot, buddy. I really appreciate you taking the time today.
Yeah, I appreciate you, Kevin. Keep it up. I love your podcast, brother.
All right, y'all. We will talk to you next week.
Today's episode is brought to you by Kevin and Fred's community at eXp Realty. Learn why over 1,000 real estate agents joined eXp Realty last week. Join us for an informational webinar this Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Register at intro to exprealty.com.